Hi everyone, this is Vishen Lakhiani, and I have a very, very special person on the phone with me right now. Her name is Helene Hadsell, and she's the author of the book Contesting. Now, I got to tell you about Helene. She has done something which most people would say is impossible. Basically, Helene has this weird ability to win every contest she participates in. She's an amazing woman. Joe Vital, one of the teachers at The Secret, wrote an article on his blog saying, "This is a lady who should have been in The Secret." And in this interview, Helene's going to share the story of her life. She's going to talk about some of the masters that she had the good chance of knowing and studying from, masters such as Jose Silva. And she's going to talk a little bit about her story, about how she developed this, I don't know if you can call it a theory or an art of contesting, but she's going to talk about how she is able to influence reality or call it manufacturing luck when it comes to her life. And she's also going to share a remarkable story of how she ended up writing a book that sold 3 million copies. Helene, how are you?
Absolutely great this evening. Okay, let me start out by, if anybody wants to be a winner, then they should borrow my motto. And my motto is SPEC. S-P-E-C. And what that means is, when you want something, you first select it, project it, expect it, and then you collect it. So it's a very simple thing, because this is really what's worked for me. And it used to be fun. I'd say, well, what do we want? What do we want to win this month? And we would all sit here as a family unit. And let's say we decide to go to Disneyland. All right, we selected it. Now we're projecting it. And then we expect it. And then we collect it. But we'd have to enter a contest that was offering a trip to Disneyland. And there were many, many, many contests there in the early 70s here in the United States. Sweepstakes contests are where you complete 25 words or less. And that's what I would do. I would write these 25 words, and I had this offbeat sense of humor because I always feel that life is either a daring adventure or nothing. And I've made it quite daring over the years. And so this is what we would do. And from one thing led to another. And yes, one week, I won every contest I entered. I would select maybe first prize, because after a while, you know, you get jaded and you have enough fry pans or trips or whatever you want. And so my biggest prize was this fabulous, fabulous home that I built in Las Colinas here in Dallas, in the Dallas area. So I guess that was my biggest contest prize. After I won that, what else is there? I won a couple of cars, trips wherever I wanted to go and so forth. And then it wasn't stimulating anymore. It wasn't exciting anymore. And then all of a sudden, this beautiful man appeared in my life, Jose Silva. And when I first met him, he was out here in Fort Worth doing a free lecture. And the first thing, I'm sort of bold, and I was not able to understand his accent. And so during the break, I got up and I said, "Listen," I said, "I'm fascinating with what you're telling us, but you talk too fast." And so he just kind of looked at me, and he said, "Okay," and then he slowed down. After we got through with his introductory lecture, I was so fascinated with him, I asked him to come home, and I said, "Come on home and meet my husband, and we'll just have a coffee break." And he accepted, and then he told me, he said he was looking for a sponsor or a secretary to help him get started getting suitable places so he could teach. I volunteered, and we started in Dallas. And after that, I mean, it was just, we went to Fort Worth, and we went to other towns, and I opened other areas for him. And then I did conventions as one of the key speakers, because now, after you once really and truly have all your physical things, and then you start wondering, am I a special person? Am I a witch? You know, I've been accused of being called a witch. I'm using witchcraft. And I said, no, it's wishcraft. There's a big, big difference here. And so I started out by doing something real, real offbeat. And in my second book that I've written, and it's been published recently, The Confessions of an 84-year-old Sage, I talk about, now I think I want to levitate. Now I think I want to use mental telepathy. Now I want to know the difference between a thought form and a person that comes to you by their own volition, because I can see in other dimensions. And there are a number of people that can do this, so I don't have a brain tumor or I'm not crazy, because I see these people. But now I was wondering, is it a thought form I create? Is this, I learned from Jose, because he said many times they're thought forms and you create them. And so in my book, when I do quite an extensive description of how Jose and I worked together, we worked with the thought form, because people would come to a lesson and ask for Jose's help. And I would listen, and I learned so much. So I wanted to prove to myself, so I went to England, sat in seance rooms for three weeks, and when I came out of there, I knew that the difference between aberrations and thought forms. In New York, I had a friend, and she said, get on the talk show and tell these people, because I think this is an interesting subject. Which I did, and somebody heard me, and that's when I was invited to Russia to present my paper on aberrations and thought forms. I then did experimenting with telepathy. Jose was very, very good receiver in telepathy. I was an excellent sender, and we got to be so proficient. We would do things verbatim. He would know what I was telepathically telling him. I also have a son that's very, very good at this. And it's a fun thing, you know. When you are thinking about a person and you are hoping that they call, or just thinking about them in general, they pick up your message. And if it's positive, creative, and so forth, they may call you, or they may smile and think of you, and they may think it's their idea. So when I was with Jose, we did a very interesting experiment. And my son, as I said, was a good receiver. So I would conjure up things that I'd want him to do, and he would do them. And finally, he got wise, and he said, Mother, is that my idea or yours? And it usually was my idea. And that's when I said, Honey, you can accept or reject it. And after a while, he would say, Well, I got your message, and is this what you wanted? And it's just like, so what else? This is new. When I was with the Silva Method, I would go out to the various centers now that we had around the country where the instructors were. And one weekend I was invited up to Hamilton, Ohio. And there was an instructor up there, and he was called Ken Ogemeyer. And after I did my workshop and I had written my book, and it had just come out, that was in the early 70s, and he said, I'd like to go ahead and use your book, and really and truly, I have a plan and a scheme. Well, I looked at him, and he was just a young guy. He lived with his mother. He didn't even have a car, but he had an intense desire, and his desire was to make $1 million so he could go to India. He was very into meditation and the holy men, etc. And he said, what would you like to do? And I said, well, when I retire, I'd like to buy some property on the lake and build a center where people can come, and a dormitory also, where people can come, and I can teach them self-awareness, because that was where I was very, very interested in. And so he said, okay. So I never heard from him, and my book is doing very, very well now because the publisher was impressed with it, and he was selling it for me. I was selling it when I went out on a lecture tour. One weekend, Ken knocked on my door with his brother and his aunt and said, I'm not going to leave Texas until I get a commitment that I can distribute your book. Well, he didn't have, my husband said I wouldn't even work with him because he doesn't have any money. We don't know anything about him. And that's usually, I'm very, very tuned in with people's vibrations, their voice resonance, their birthday, etc. And I just, this is something that I'm interested in. And I said, well, okay, I think I'm going to sign a contract with him. And my husband was still opposed, which was perfectly all right, because it was my idea. And all Ken did, he said, give me about 4 months, and I'll see what I can do for you. And at that time, the book was very popular, and I had been out of copies, and I'd written a story for a Good Housekeeping magazine, and I was selling 1,000 copies a day from this magazine article. I ran out of books, but my contract said I couldn't print it anymore. So now it's been 4 or 5 months, and my husband is saying, I don't think it is a good idea. One day, Ken called me and said, are you sitting down, Mrs. Hadsell? He said, I took your book and put it on direct mail. I went to the contest judging firms, bought their list of people that enter contests. I sent him a postcard about your winning, and he said, we're selling 1,500 books a day. And this is your commission. So I am telling you, I had to sit down because it was $15,000 at that time. That was very, very nice. And so I went ahead and bought this 5 acres where I'm presently living. I built a dormitory. I built a center all out of the things that I had gotten from my book. Every 3 months, he'd send me a huge, huge check. And he had plenty of money also. When he had enough money, he said, okay, I'm giving back the book to you, and I'm going to India. It's been we've had a nice, nice encounter, and that was it. So here I have everything that's been paid for. And that was absolutely, I selected it, I projected it, I expected it, and then I collected it, which he did.
That's
another
beautiful
thing, when you are vying for a contest or a prize, there's something else that you need to consider, and that's emotion. Emotion is the energy that causes things to materialize much faster. So if you can get energy, like you can taste it, you can feel it, you can smell the upholstery in the car, if it's a car you want, then it's going to, energy works faster. We're working with energy here. That's all it is. And when you have more intense energy, and then you can manifest faster. Movie stars use this. They call it animal magnetism. But it's an energy thing, and it's enthusiasm, and that makes a winner. Being positive. Now, how does one develop being positive and stay with it? I have something here that I think you ought to consider, because it's something that I teach to my students that come out here for self-awareness. And I always tell them, watch your thoughts. They become words. Watch your words. They become actions. Watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. And this is very, very important.
That's a beautiful quote.
You consider this. And another thing with the sense of humor, I always say that how to succeed in life, you only need three things. And that's a wishbone, a backbone, and a funny bone. And if you have that, I mean, that's very, very true. And then it's a fun and game. I mean, life is a fun, is either daring adventure or nothing. And I've made it daring because I feel that I've been very, very successful in anything I pursue. And I still am doing this. And it's remarkable. I can squeal with delight when something manifests for me. It's just like being a kid again in a candy store when it comes to fruitation, I call it.
What?
Do you have a question? I could talk forever.
Yes, absolutely. Here. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, you said people come to you, come to where you are located for your training programs. Where exactly are you located right now? I'm sure the audience would love to know.
Yeah, I'm 50 miles from Dallas. Now, like 22 miles from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have guests here anymore, but I've done something in the last 15 years. I do people's blueprints, and I get requests from all over the world. And what I do is all I need is your birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Then I sit here in my computer, and I zap in on you, and I know what makes you tick, click, and get sick. Are you mad, sad, or glad? All of these things come to me, and I do 20 pages of all about you. Everybody wants to know about themselves. They really should. Because when you know about yourself, Buddha self, and then you can, you're more successful. It's just a more fun thing.
That's interesting. And what do you charge for this?
It's $35 for this entire blueprint. I put it in a photo album so you can review it. And today I had an order for four of them, and this is real interesting because more men are ordering it than women. I did Joe Vital's blueprint,
uh-huh.
And it was a hoot. He called me, and he said, "My gracious, were you on target?" I saw him. I said, "I knew you when he was in. We were in Spain together, and he was a monk." And I was a Mother Superior. Now, this is funny. Mother Superior, and he got tired, and he started monkeying around with one of the nuns. And so from that period on, I called him a monk, and evidently he had remembered it because he just got hysterical, put it on his blog, and now everybody that contacts me said, "I know Joe, the monk, sent me and told me that I needed to get your blueprint." So I'm doing blueprints, and it's taking up most of my time.
I see.
Let's see, a doctor from Hong Kong called me last week. "Do you do blueprints?" And I said, "Yes." So I get them from all over the world, and it's just a word-of-mouth thing, because I don't do any advertising.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need to. I'm busy all the time. And now the postage has gone up, so I have to, it's $11 to send one of those blueprints out of the country. And so I'm having a lot of fun with them.
I see. Now, what does someone get out of these blueprints?
It's self-awareness. First of all, I tell you the vibration. Everything is a vibration. I tell you the vibration of what your name is. And what you, when people talk about you, what vibration you get from that is all it is. And then when you come into a lifetime, you come in the, what I call the informative, the month you were born, the day you were born is the productive, and the year you were born is the harvest cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I then take you through the three periods of your lifetime. I take you to the period of what you were to do this lifetime. What is your mission? We all have a mission. Mine is a five, which is an adventurer. And each thing that I add up is your mission is what I'm trying to say.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to
I
look
see.
And find here a paper that would clarify it. But if you're a one, you're a pioneer, and you go where no man gone before. And you're investigating, researching, and doing things to help people to help themselves. If you lifetime path, and when I say your lifetime path, that's your month, day, and year, which I add up.
Mm-hmm.
And then I say, okay, if you have a two, and then you are a career person, you are very, very, very diplomatic, is what I would say. Three, you're the artist. Four, you're the builder. And this is a very serious project. Five, you're the adventurer. Six, the cosmic parent. I just did a woman that she'd been wanting to have a child, and she's never been able to conceive. And she's a cosmic parent, which tells me she's missing a bit because she can. I mean, there are many opportunities to fulfill that need of being a parent, and being sharing and caring. So I did quite a nice blueprint for her. Seven is the philosopher. Eight is the executive. And nine is the humanitarian, which you are sharing with people and helping them. Anytime I see a blueprint with sevens and nines, I know that they're tuned in, and eventually they can see in this other dimension. Anybody can do that. And the criteria would be desire, starting out with meditation. Is this what you want? There's nothing you can't have when you once choose what you want, and then you project it, and then you have to expect it, and then it comes. You collect it. And these are so if you're wanting to be a winner, then for heaven's sake, remember the SPEC motto, because I drill on that constantly. And I have a lot of, I looked at your blog the other day, and you have a lot of testimonials,
mm-hmm.
which I think is fantastic, because there's nothing better than knowing that someone else has accomplished this and that you too can do it. Because, we learn from other people.
Helen, what I wanted to ask you was, how did you come up with the concept of SPEC, S-P-E-C, and what was that trigger that happened in your life that made you discover you had these abilities or to help you develop these abilities?
Well, initially, I was 5 years old. I lived in South Dakota, and my mother was German, my dad was Russian, and brought up in the Catholic Church, and my grandfather was dying. And they were very deeply, deeply religious. And in the bedroom of my grandmother and grandfather, she had a huge picture of an angel. And I would visit her because they just lived right across the street from us. Now he's dying, and all the people are around and are in the room. I wanted to be in the room. I'm 5 years old. My mother said, no, go out and play with your cousins. And I said, no, I want to see that angel that's coming, because my grandmother said an angel's coming to take my granddad. Okay.
See.
So my mother, and because I'm fussing and screaming, and I want to see that angel. And so she let me in the room where he's dying and all these people standing around. I'm waiting for this angel to come, because what does a five-year-old know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, my granddad was on the bed. He had pneumonia, and he's breathing. I mean, it's just a labor to breathe. And all of a sudden, he sits up in bed. And through the wall, a lot of people came. He gets up out of bed. He smiles, and he goes through the wall with these people.
Wait, you're saying now, you saw this as a five-year-old?
Yes, as a five-year-old. And I am confused because Granddad is laying on the bed, yet he's up there and he went with these people. And after the priest was there, and then they pronounced him dead, and we got walked out of the room. And I'm looking up at my mother and I'm bewildered, and I said, you know something, Granddaddy didn't have an angel. He went with all those old people. And she thought I was bonkers. Of course, when I was seeing things like that, she would say I lied or I had a vivid imagination. And she said, don't talk about that. And so I was squelched as a child, and I would try to keep things to myself until I was 17 years old. And at 17 years old, I had rheumatic fever. And when I got that, I was in bed. I mean, everything ached. There was no medical cure for it at that time. All it was aspirin and rest. And finally, they did discover penicillin about that time. But now I had tremendous, tremendous challenges with my heart. I couldn't breathe. And one night, I'm laying in bed after months, and I, very Catholic, very religious, I said, I want to die. It's time. I don't want to be a burden to my mother anymore, and I can't do anything. I'm in pain. I want to die now. And I'm very, very determined. And that's when a being appeared. And this being, I mean, was just like an ordinary man. And he said, you can't die. And I said, why not? And he said, because you came in here. You come in here for a purpose. You have a physical body for a purpose. And your work has not begun. And I said, how can I do anything? He said, you're healed. And when he said I was healed, and then he left. And then I called my mother, and I said, she came running into the room, and I said, this man was just here, and he's healed. I didn't say it was Jesus. He looked just like a man. And so she pulled out the thermometer, and she thought I had this temperature again, and I didn't have a temperature. And she pulls back the bed covers, because when you have rheumatic fever, all your joints are swollen. And everything was still swollen. My ankles and my knees were swollen. And she said, you just had a nice dream. And I said, no, no, no. He said I was healed. Well, the next morning, I didn't know any better. I just get out of bed, don't have any pain whatsoever, get into the kitchen, and I said, I'm going to go back to school today. And she was absolutely done. She said, you can't. I said, well, I'm healed. There's nothing wrong with me. She called the doctor, and at that time, doctors came and came to your house, and he came and he says, well, I'm going to come by and see this. And he came by, he examined me, he said, there's nothing wrong with her. She's all right. And the funny thing was, there was quite a few. There was another one of my schoolmates that also had rheumatic fever, and he died. They didn't tell me that until later on because they thought I would I'd be affected by it. But actually, because so much heart damage, because they didn't know what to do with it, you know. But anyway, I drew a picture. Now, here this man is. And then after I went back to school and I got busy with other things and so forth. And this man, I never saw him again until I started winning contests. And I had so many, many calls from people. And I always answer my phone. I mean, I don't think I'm a special person. And if they take the time to call me, I'll talk to them. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm deciding to write this book. And while I'm writing the book, this man appears again, just out of the blue, same man, smiling. And he says, okay, he said, you're starting your mission, and it's the beginning, and we're going to help you. And when he said that, it was a month or two later, that's when Jose appeared. And when Jose appeared, and I took him to my home and wanted to get better acquainted with him, that night I had a dream and said, you're to help this man. Your mission is to help this man. And so
this
that's
man
what
meaning
I,
Jose Silva.
Yes, yes, yes. And so I learned so much from Jose, and I think he learned from me because we were very, very close. And we would sit for he would bring books, and he would say, you have to read this book, you have to read this book. And every book that I read, I would say, okay, now I can do this. And one day he came, and I drew a picture, finally had no artistic ability, but drew this mammoth picture of this being that appeared to me and all these people that were behind him. And I would say to him, while I was drawing it, making a sketch, I said, stand still so I can hit you. And this sounds ridiculous because this is in the other dimension. But he did, and I finished the picture. I hung it up, and the picture's about 3 feet by, I would say, 5 feet. And it's a, I'll send you a copy of the picture. And you can, because when Jose came one time with a group of his teachers that he was teaching there in Dallas. And one of the teachers, I said, look at this man appeared to me, and I had to do his portrait. And so this man, one of the teachers said, well, he's not real. He said, he doesn't have, his face is too, he said, it's not a real person. And Jose looked at him and sort of frowned, and he said, what makes you think he's from this dimension? And I cracked up because he wasn't from this dimension. Well, anyway, you're going to see this picture. I'll send you a copy of it.
Looking forward to it. And
that was the,
now, yes? How did these childhood experiences, how did that lead to your first contest win? I mean, when you entered your first contest, did you go in with the SPEC formula, or did you develop that later over time?
I developed that. What happened was I read the book, The Power of Positive Thinking by Norman Vincent Peale.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing in the book said you can have anything you want, provided you know what it is and see yourself as already having it. And that's when I came up with, hey, that's it, spec, that's it. You know, select it, project it, expect it, collect it. And when after I read the book, now I'm a little happy homemaker. I have 3 children. My husband never worked. I mean, I never worked because at that time, you know, the man was the breadwinner of the house. My husband had a college education and just was working every day, and I stayed home with 3 children. Because he wouldn't let me work, I mean, stay home with the kids. And then I got bored, And that's when I read Vincent Peale's book and said, hey, you have anything you want. So that night, my husband came in. He's reading the Dallas paper. And I said, I read this book. And you know something? I'm going to start entering contests to win things. He said, what do you want to win? I said, what should we get started with? And he laughed. He's always been very supportive. He laughed and he said, well, here, look at, they're giving an outboard motor here, in the Coca-Cola company, and 25 words why you take Coca-Cola on outings. And he said, why don't you win me this outboard motor? And I said, okay. I never questioned it, you know. I'm thinking Vincent Peale knows everything. So that night I sat in a chair. I had this ability to temporarily project into a person, become a momentarily. And so I pretended I'm my husband. And I'm seeing now, they say, why do you take Coca-Cola on outings? And I thought, okay, my husband likes to fish. He has this little boat. He goes out and is relaxing. The children are too small to go with him. But he does. We're living on the lake here. And he goes out fishing. And so I wrote this 25 words. I'm a lone wolf fisherman. Cokes are my silent partners. They contribute no yakety yak, only cool enjoyment when called upon. I showed him the entry. I send it in. And I said, I wonder how long it's going to take him to let us know we won. 2 weeks later, the telephone rang. Mr. Hadsell, yes, you won an outboard motor. Okay, and then I said, okay, now what do we want to win next? So my daughter wants a bicycle. So we name a pony. And she can win this bicycle. And so we sit around, and here's these children are all small yet. And I'm encouraging them, how can we name a pony? And he said, well, Prince Charming. And I said, that's not original. And then I came up with Prance Charming because of Doe Princess. And these are coined words. My mind works a mile a minute. We send it off, and she got her bicycle. And then now they want to do this, now they want to do this. And so finally we became, and I have another saying that's in my book, The Name It and Claim It Game. It's a fun book because I had this offbeat sense of humor. And so now they want to go to Disneyland, so we go to Disneyland, win it. We never paid for a trip after I started seriously entering contests.
Wow. How many contests do you figure you've won over the years?
Everything I've ever wanted. But now my son wants to go to the Dude Ranch and want a trip to a Dude Ranch. Now he wants to go to Europe. We went 3 trips to Europe because I wanted to be at France on my 40th birthday, sitting at a sidewalk cafe, drinking wine with my husband. And I won this trip, and on my 40th birthday, we're sitting at that sidewalk cafe drinking wine on my birthday because I visualized it. I knew I'd get it. I mean, you know, just projected and selected first. That was it.
You said Helen, you said you've won 3 trips to Europe?
More than that.
That's amazing. And what about, I'd love to know about the house. How did you win that house?
I came back from one of my trips. I went to New York. I won trips to New York. I love New York. And I came back, and there was a group in Dallas that we'd meet once a month, and we would share entry blanks. We would encourage everybody. We would sometime write together because there were so many opportunities. You you know, everybody was plugging their merchandise, and so they had contests. And when I came back, and this is very, very, very interesting, one of the girls, we had just won this trip to New York to the World's Fair. And coming back, she said, while you were at the World's Fair, did you see that house that Ramika is going to give? It's a $50,000 house. Now, that was in the 70s. And did you register for that? And I said, no, I was so busy with other areas, I didn't even know it. Noticed it. She said, well, there is a builder over here in it was about 30 miles from where I lived. There was a builder on the other side of Dallas. And she said, well, you can go to that house and register. You have to register there. And look at the Formica house. That's what they're plugging. Just from the new molding that they had and so forth. So, okay, the next day, I talked to my husband. I said, okay, I said, I think we're going to win. I think we need a new house, and I'm going to go over to Garland and register for this house. Well, the next morning, I get up, and it's raining. And two of my friends lived in Irving, where I lived at the time. I called one. I said, let's go over. I said, and registered for this house. And she said, oh, no. She said, the winners probably are already there. And she said, I'm going to have my rugs done today. No, I'm not going. And then I called another friend, and she was busy with something else. And do you know, I sat there at my house, and it seemed like somebody was pushing me out the door. So I get in my car, drive 55 miles in the rain to go and enter this contest. And I'm sitting there at the house. This is a Formica house, all furnished and everything. And I am designing the interior the way I want it. I register my name, and I register my husband's name, and I bring home an entry blank. And I look at the blank, and it said, you must have visited the home. And then I pushed the panic button because my husband had not seen the house. And I thought, oh, my God, if they call and they ask for him and if they maybe ask, did you see the house and what was the thing that impressed you? And then we'd be disqualified because he didn't see the house. Do you know that on Saturday, after I had been there, I made my husband get in the car, drive the 55 miles, so he could, I said, when they call us, you'll have to say you did see the house, so let's familiarize yourself with the place. This is actually what I don't know, I do these things. I have hunches, intuitions, whatever it is. And he registered. So now, we never know. This contest had been going on for a year, and they had it in the World's Fair is where they sponsored it. And then all around the country, builders were building a spec house and using these Formica products. And so now it's been 5 weeks, never heard a thing. But what I'm doing, I went out and found, I went out and found the lot that I wanted to put the house on. I had my husband draw up the plans for the house, and I said, so when they let us know, we'll be ready, you know. And so one night I'm at my writer's group there in Dallas, the group that I met once a month, and I get this phone call. And he says, you're not going to believe this. He said, but somebody just called and asked for you. And the only question that they ask is, did you go and see that Formica house in Garland? And I said, oh, my God. Because second prize was a car, and the third prize was another smaller car. So you never know what you're going to win.
Right.
And so what was so funny, because now I said, now I know we won. I wonder what's going to take, why it's taken them so long to let us know we won. So now, one morning, my husband gets up and goes to work, and I said, no, stay home today. Today they're going to come and let us know we won. He says, are you sure? I said, yeah, trust me. So he piles up in bed. I go to the bakery and get things and put the coffee pot on. And we're waiting, and it's 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock. He said, well, maybe you just had a desire and a knowing instead of knowing. I said, no, I know this. The phone rang, and it was the president of Formica, and said, when would your husband be home from work or coming out to tell you something very important, you know, just like I didn't know. And so I said, well, he's taken off today and he's home now. And he said, well, we'll be out. Well, then about that time, my two boys came in the door for school. And I said, now listen, these people are coming and telling us we won our home. God, for God's sake, act surprised. They expect it. And so they didn't know. We had to act surprised, you know. Oh, my God, no, you know, because they didn't have the inkling that we already knew this. There were many things, and you want to know something? I attribute that knowing feeling because as I taught self-awareness classes, I was always sharing, and I would say, when we want something, we have a desire, and desire is a feeling, being antsy and exaggerated and so forth. But when you know for certain that it's already won, then there's a calm, collected feeling because you know it's already done. There's no, and I never am wrong when I have this calm, knowing feeling. And a number of my students have now, when they experiment with wanting something, and I said, well, you still have a desire here, because I know I'm going to win. I know I'm going to win it. And I said, it's still a desire feeling. It's a knowing feeling when somebody calls and says, hi, Helena, today I'm going to win. The postman's not here yet, but I'm going to win that television that I wanted. And then I say, okay, you already have it. And she wins the television. So another thing is when you get serious on projecting, you get to where you're knowing yourself. Know thyself is what it's all about. And then you know your feelings. You're comfortable with your feelings. You're comfortable when you look at a person. Are they mad, sad, glad, or bad? And then you act from that perspective. That's awareness. And you're taught this in the Silva method. You are taught to become aware and just getting to alpha just by putting your two fingers together. And then you're in tune with wherever you're at. And it's just so exciting. After you take a class and you apply the principles, you don't just wait to get a parking place or do it for healing. Do it in all areas of your life. That's when you have a daring adventure. That's when it gets exciting.